Matthew chapter 5, as we look at the Word of God this evening. Appreciate you being here. Thank God for Wednesday night prayer meeting. Being able to come and get off our chest with each other the things that belong to God, and that a request may be made known unto Him. As we look tonight in Matthew chapter 5, we've been looking at going through the book of Matthew. In particular, we're in something called the Beatitudes. And as we look at tonight, we're going to start in verse 6 and be in verse 6. As the Bible says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Do you believe what you just read? Let's read it again. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I want to talk to you tonight about, are you fake or are you full? Are you fake or are you full? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you, and Lord, we thank you, God, for what you're doing. Lord, we believe everything in the Bible. We may not understand it, but God, we believe it. And tonight, Lord, we pray Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." God, that you'll give us understanding and help us take in the precious word of God. Lord, that you'll teach us great and mighty things which we know not. And Lord, pray God tonight that you'll help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we thank you in advance for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight at the message tonight, are you fake or are you full? I'm afraid the devil has deceived a lot of people. He's told them that all they got to do is say a mystical prayer and they'll be saved. And they go through life not knowing where God is, or even if there be a God. But if someone asks them in particular the question, "Are you saved?" they'll say, "I said a prayer." They've got a lot of people, the devil has deceived a lot of people with water. I read somewhere one time that the devils, not demons, there's no such thing as demons. That's something made up in Greek literature. Your King James Bible never calls them that. It calls them devils every time. And the reason being, they're part of the devil. They act like their father, the devil. They go after him. There's such a close likeness there that you can't hardly tell them apart sometimes. You'll think it's the devil, it's one of them little devils. I heard somebody say the other day that Christians cannot be devil-possessed. Actually, they said demon-possessed. And I know the charismatics love to go around this country saying that, "Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in you," and blah, blah, blah. Has it ever occurred to you, and this occurred to me just the other day, somebody pointed this out to me, that did you know that God is everywhere at all times? There's no place you can go not find God. He said if you go to hell, he'll be there. He's the one's wrath poured on, not the devil's. And then the same person told me this, "Did you ever realize who the prince and the power of the air is? Who is it? Where's he at? If he's the prince of the power of the air, where's he at? He's in there. Where's God at again?" So that means them two kind of cross swords all the time, don't they? So don't come up with where God is, the devil can't be. The closer you get to God, you're going to find you're going to get closer to the devil. You know why? He don't want you to get closer to God. Listen, that's why they called him the enemy. He opposes Christians. In fact, listen, he'd like nothing better tonight than to take your mind off what the Bible says, take your mind off the plan of God, get you away from the people of God, and destroy you as a fake. But you're saved. See? That's how the deceiver works. He'll try to get people's mind on one thing and then come right behind them and do the very thing he's trying to get them not to do. I find it awfully odd tonight that the devil will tell you and tempt you, "You shouldn't go to church. It's dark outside, it's cold outside, it's hot outside, it's light outside, it's dark outside," on and on and on. You're tired, you're happy, you're sad, you're glad, whatever it is. And he'll give you all that, and you'll sit at home and pout, right, and he'll come to church. Come on. The devil will tempt you to go down to the liquor store, go down to the beer joint, go to all these other places, and you'll go to them places, and he'll go to church. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? Come on. I'm telling you tonight, are you fake Or are you full? See, the fake comes along and says, you know what? I'm going to live by the Ten Commandments, and they can't live by them. And so they get away from that cult, and they say, I'm going to live by the Spirit. And they take them in a classroom and say, look at my bow tie real fast. Say, who stole my Honda real fast? And they say, who stole my Honda? Look at my bow tie. And they say, you've got the gift. Most charismatic churches teach that stuff in Sunday school.
Yeah.
So how do you know? Because one told me. It's like when I met my first professional wrestler. He said, do you believe wrestling's real? I said, I can't answer that. Because number one, you bigger than I am. If I say it ain't, it is, you kill me. And number two, if I'm right, you ain't going to tell me no way. He said, they're both. He said, the outcome is predetermined, but getting there is hard getting there. Now listen, are you fake or are you fool? He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, there's a lot of churches just like ours that have a lot of empty seats when the church meets. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we got a lot of fakes that are not full.
Right.
And they can't get full. You ever stood in line at a fast food place? And I know this happens to me every once in a while, especially as I'm getting older. You'll stand in line, you'll wait, and you'll wait, and you'll wait, and you wait, get up there, your turn. You get up there, and he'll say, that's $5.38. And you reach back here, and it's not there. You ever had one of them days? And you sat there, and you're going, dear Lord, where's I doing my, you know, you're hunting it everywhere, right? You know, you're thinking, you're hungry, you're hunting your cigarettes just in case your billfold ain't there type thing. And you're sitting there thinking, and then you look around and say, is anybody there? You know. And then you graciously say, I'll be right back. Knowing you ain't coming back, you're going to drive all the way home and go somewhere else. You ever been there before? You know what you was in that line? You was a fake customer. If I didn't intend to be, neither do they. Somebody they trust told them that they had to do this and they'd be saved, and they did, and they're not saved, and now they don't know what to do. Well, listen, there are so many people that suffer from being fake that if they did find out what was real, their pride would never let them do what's right. And I'm going to show you this tonight. Listen, if you look at this verse for what it says, don't try to read between the lines, look at what it says. He says, number one, you see the determination of this word, the blessed. Blessed literally means somebody that's satisfied over whatever circumstances in front of them. There's only one way to get there. Only one way. You got to have the blesser in here. That don't mean Christians can't be down, depressed, discouraged, or whatever. But if you're going to arrive at blessed, and you're going to have all these blessings we've mentioned so far and the ones that are to come, there's got to be the blesser living inside your heart. This is all for born-again believers right here. Satisfaction over the circumstances. Say, what kind of circumstances? Any of them. Can you imagine going through this past holiday season and having to sit in a house all by yourself with no one there? But some believers did. Can you imagine being in a house full of people you don't like? Some of you did. You wouldn't admit it. You wouldn't tell your wife. You've told me before, and your wife's told me before she hates your in-laws. I mean, I understand. I know how it is. Human emotion. Some people are easier to love than they are to like. And holidays always brings that out with funerals and weddings, being number two and number three. But this is for the born-again believer to be satisfied over his circumstances, be blessed. You know, it's easy when you got everything going and your income tax check just cashed in your back pocket and your car's new and paid for and you just got it paid for and you got all these things going. It's easy to say you're blessed then, but it's hard when the guy's trolling around the neighborhood in a rollback looking for your vehicle.
Oh.
So what do you do with it? We used to around here, they'd put them on blocks because it was legal to repossess a car on blocks. So everyone come Monday morning, everybody take their tires off their cars. True story. Ask any of your older relatives that lived here.
Huh.
They've since amended that. They'll come get it. They have to scrape it up on the road and with a dustpan. They're going to come get it now. He comes to our neighborhood quite frequently. Thank God for a paid-for vehicle. Amen. They used to bother me. I see yellow lights flashing at 3 o'clock in the morning. Now I could care less. I know who they get now. They're getting somebody else. Mm-hmm. But I look here and I say, blessed. Blessed over what? blessed over everything. And the determination of the blessed says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. And I caught a word in there, which is the word which. And that word is literally, it's called interrogative pronoun, which literally says that the word is used to ask for more information on a person or a thing based off some previous information. And to put that sentence together, that which falls in line, the blessed comes before it, and it says blessed, and here's the which, and it's the question about what's to come based on what was already said, and the determination of the blessed is this. Their determination is based on a hunger and a thirst. I haven't had any time in my life in which I've had a problem with my thirst. And I know looking at me, you probably wouldn't think I get hungry very often, but I do. I hunger and thirst. I've never had a problem with either. In fact, I don't have to pray about it. If you want the truth, I'm probably getting a little hungry right now. Now, we're talking about real food now. I'm tired of cakes, cream, cookies, ice cream, little mints that's got red and green things on them, and all that. I'm talking about steaks and chicken, buddy. Whole hog sausage. Yeah. Joe sausage even. Amen. But he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. That hunger and thirst is something you got to pray for. It's something that'll happen. Mm-hmm. Why? Because to the born again believer, there's a new spirit within you according to Ezekiel 36. It's born again. He likes to eat and he's thirsty. Mm-hmm. Psalm 42 points out that the psalmist said, I do pant after thee, O God. Why? He's hungry. He's like a dog with that tongue hanging out. In hot weather, we let our dogs out, and they're ready to come back in. They come back in, and I promise you their tongue hangs out farther than one side of the head. If they stay out there too long, then their head is long. I didn't know that little dog had such a tongue. We left her out there a little bit. One time she come back in, that thing's hanging way down here. I thought, bless your heart. I didn't have to say, now let's pray, whether you thirsty or not. Every morning we let them out of them crates. And I tell you, all right, now wait a minute. Let's pray before we eat. Well, they're dogs. They're not going to say no blessing. They're hungry already. They can go eat. You ain't got to tell them. You don't have to say, hey, let's go eat. They go eat. Mm-hmm. They're like teenagers. You know what they do? They eat all the time. Eat, 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 eat. And just by the time you think they're full, I said, what's for dinner? I said, but you ate all afternoon. Yeah, I know, but I'm hungry. They ain't got to pray about it. They already know. The determination of the blessed is they already hungry for something. They already thirsty for it. They just got to get to it.
Right.
I know when you first get saved, they don't have to say, well, it's Bible reading time.
No,
you know why? You're already hungering and thirsting after it. Mm-hmm. So what could get you away from that? Being fed the wrong thing.
Right.
That's good. I heard somebody say one time, said, I read the Bible through one time. What I do now? Read it again. So what happens when I read it again? You'll understand more. You'll believe more. You'll have more faith. God will work a work of faith in your life. He'll fix that hunger and thirst with real food. I've heard tell, now I don't know if it's true or not. I don't really know. I haven't seen where it comes from. But I hear there's this big movement in America on eating organic food. And they say that when that word's organic is on it, an organic grocery store, that literally means that thing has been raised in an environment or grown in an environment without pesticides or injections or any of that other stuff. That's what they say. Now, it costs $5 more per banana to get one of them. And they look like they're little sick, anemic bananas about this long, and that's the large. And I wonder sometimes if that's not just the regular small and they just selling it for more price and saying, I don't know. I haven't been to the farm. I hadn't went where they raised their chickens. Only two people I know got organic eggs in this whole outfit in Cherokee County. One of them sitting here, another one sits back there, and that's all I know. Been to both places, seen the chickens. But the rest of this world, this the same world told me the ice caps were melting and we'd be covered by 2012, and it's 2018 and we ain't covered.
Right.
So I don't know what they're doing. But I know this, the devil will come along with a substitute for this Bible and have you feeding off it. And before long, you don't realize that you've been eating the wrong thing this whole time. You've been full of something you didn't even know what you was getting. Or even worse, he'll give you something that's lacking the vital nutrients you need. I hear parents every day of my life talking about how bad it is in school systems. I hear them every day talk about it. Somebody says something about it. There's a school shooting. There's a this. There's a that. There's this teacher in DUI. This teacher running off with a student. All that stuff. And it seems to me that after looking at all that, we come to this book for the answer. And their Bible lacks the answer, and they don't know what to do. This kind cometh not out by prayer and fasting. Does your Bible say that anywhere? It's talking about a devil. How do we get out of there? Prayer and fasting. What if that ain't in your Bible? What are you going to do? I know what they say, them so-called scholars. What's in other places in the Bible? Tell me where it's at. It's not there. But if we go to another translation like this one, so if you lack it and we got it, you want to come get it. I know how this works. God has one book, and that's this book. This book matches that book in heaven word for word, this one. They like to make their jokes about ye, thee, then, and thou, but they don't even like to talk about it. When we talk about 17 complete verses missing, hey, are you lacking some nutrients over there? Is your vitamin A missing? Is your vitamin D missing? The determination to bless is the hunger and thirst after righteousness. And as you come to the Word of God, and if you come to this book saying, you know what, I hunger and thirst after righteousness, I want what you got here, God, and you'll just believe this book, God will give it to you. The only problem is God don't work like the business world. The supply continues as long as the demand is made. A few years back, there was a supply and demand over Tickle Me Elmo. Those things are going on eBay for $200. If I'd have had one, it'd been sold that day. Yep. And I'd have went and stole three or four more if I could have. It was lame Christmas that year, brother. Don't lie if it was. I went out and I looked this year and somebody told me there's a certain book I got on my shelf worth $1,000 right now. I've never even cracked the pages on it. Soon as I can find a buyer, she's gone. I ain't got no loyalty to books. Gone. Yep. Any of y'all in the market for that book? If you are, I got your hookup. I mean, I got it. $1,000, it's yours. You can walk out with it tonight. I think it was $15 when I bought it, but hey, supply and demand, right?
Yep.
That's the business world. But see, there always comes a time when there's more Tickle Me Elmos than there are customers. There'll come a time when that book gets reprinted too, and there'll be more books than there are people reading them.
Yep.
And then they'll be worthless. Mm-hmm. They'll go the way of the Rubik's Cube, the fidget spinner, and all the rest of that stuff that people just can't get enough of. Before long, they'll be selling it down the gas station right beside the crack pipe. And you say, man, I remember when everybody wanted those and you couldn't find one. Mm-hmm. But with God, the supply is there as long as there's demand. There always meets in the middle. There's never no overabundance of either side. Another thing about the determination of the blessed is that the supply is only in proportion to the desire and the determination of the believer. As much of it as you want, you can have. You ever go eat at a buffet restaurant? You ever notice they don't never say, well, you'd have two plates, and that's it. You go to a good one, and you walk in, it says, all you can eat. Now, that's not a challenge, that's an offer. When I was 20 years old, I could put down five plates of that stuff and never even think about it. Never gain a pound, nothing. Now, after the first plate, I feel like I've gained 10 pounds, and I want a second just because I paid for it, and I can't hardly get up to go get it.
Right.
But I do know this. They don't ever say, ah, Mr. Customer, you've had too much, you've got to go now. Do they? You want some more? More egg roll for you? They put 10 more out there if you need them. That's how God is about this book. The more you want of it, the more he'll give it
to
you.
Right.
Yeah.
The determination of the blessed is the hunger and thirst God's offers to fill the cup up. Mm-hmm. You ever read that thing in the Bible, my cup does what? It runneth over. How does it do that? Because there's a supply there that's met on the demand, and because of the person wanting it, God just keeps filling it up. you get a good waitress in a restaurant, and listen, you don't have to ask for anything, especially anything to drink. They watch that cup.
Yep.
You may have one waitress have a bad day out of a million, but I'm going to tell you, most times you can't run them off of them filling that cup up.
Amen.
That's what God does with this book.
Right.
I notice also that God's supply is infinite and inexhaustible and is free for the asking, but you got to ask. When you're determined to be blessed and you're determined to have the hunger and thirst filled, God says, I will, and it becomes the will of God, and he'll meet that thing.
Yeah.
Secondly, he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, and that shows the direction of the blessed. One thing's for sure, if we're going to do things right, it's just like if you have a gun and you want to hit a target, and you out target shooting, you got to hit the target. If you're going to get them little targets, they like little cubes, and you set them up against something or tape them up against something, and they got a little charge in them. I forgot if it's gunpowder or what. What's that stuff called that makes that?
Tannerite.
You get one of those little tannerite, you better stand about 100 to 200 yards off, put that thing out there, set it on the hood of an old car even, get you a good rifle, get a good scope, make sure you're lined up. Get focused on that thing, and when you pull that trigger, you thought the bang out of the gun was something. Wait till the bang goes off on the other end.
Yep.
But you'll never hit the target without trying to hit it.
Yep.
The chances of you throwing the gun in the air and it landing and that bullet going out and hitting that thing are about 10 million to 1. Now watch this. But if you aim at it, your chances go about 3 to 1, depending on how good of a shot you are. So why 3 to 1? Because usually that rifle carries at least 3 rounds in it. That's one thing down there, 3 to 1. Get them. So that ain't good gambling. I don't know how to gamble no way. But I know this. If you got a good rifle and you got the right bullets and you got a target out there full of that stuff and you aim at it, you might hit it. Very possible.
Amen.
But if you never pick up and load the gun, right, you're probably never going to have the determination right to see that thing blow up.
Right.
I watched them blow up an old car, an old Jeep, and something else, and I thought, man, I wonder if we can get that stuff here. Any of y'all got any old cars we can borrow?
Okay.
Say, we're going to take them to the junkyard later. They won't be nothing left to take the junkyard later. But if you get your determination right and you aim at something, you'll get it. I'm going to give you a little secret that you didn't know about yourself. And here's the secret. You will do what you want to do.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
And if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will get it.
Yep.
If your determination is not to play games with me and play games with this church and play games with God, and you want to do right, you will.
Right.
No doubt about it.
Amen.
But he said hunger and thirst after a particular thing. And what's that thing right there in that verse? Righteousness. Now, if you look up the word righteousness in the Bible, you're going to run into two things. One of them will state almost through the context, it'll show you the right state of something or somebody. If you look over Proverbs 21, verse 12, the Bible says this. Proverbs 21, down at verse 12, it says, the righteous man wisely considers the house of the wicked. The righteous man does. He don't want to go in. He don't want to go be part of it because he knows the second part of this verse. But God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. I've considered a lot of things, and I've considered how people live, and I've looked out and seen some things and seen some people that seem like they got it made, but I know one day God's going to pay off on that thing. You can have all the good health and all the money you want to, and you can have all the favor, and you can have everybody speaking well of you. But if you don't have the Lord, one day he's going to cash in all that stuff.
Right.
There's going to be another man smoking your cigars. There's going to be another man riding your lawnmower. There's going to be another man in your bedroom.
Right.
Just wait and see.
Right.
He said he overthroweth the house of the wicked for one reason, their wickedness.
Right.
But the righteous man, a man that's in a right state, that man's right for a reason. It's because of the second part of that definition. Righteousness is not only a thing, but righteousness in the Bible is a person, and you can't have one without the other. If you look back over at Matthew chapter 6, where we was at, near where we was at, Matthew chapter 6, he tells them in the same sermon, he says this, Matthew chapter 6, look down at verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And people stop there and say, now the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, those are literally used interchangeably, blah, 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 and they're not. Kingdom of God is literally a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is a physical kingdom. You go throughout this verse, you go throughout Matthew, you find that kingdom of heaven only occurs here, and kingdom of God occurs here and other places, and the things defined in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, but he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, here's the part that they miss, and his righteousness. His talks about God's righteousness. That's found only in Jesus Christ. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hey, you've got to have the right direction. Do you know what kind of people don't make it when they come to quote Christianity? The ones who are coming fake for the wrong reason.
Right.
You listen. You let her tell some of them tonight, this is it, boy. You out. I'm tired of you lying. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this. Oh, and I found these. I got my detective found pictures of you and this woman, and we found this, and I found that your other bank account. We're done. Next thing you'll hear out of his mouth after about a day or two is this. Honey, I'll come to church. And she'll say, you lying devil. Somewhere this coming Sunday, somebody's going to church because the old lady puts you out.
Yep.
And you know what they're going to do when they get there? I don't care if he preaches on Mary Had a Little Lamb, about the New York Giants and David's Giant, whatever he preaches on, that dude's walking aisle. He's going to repent, get rid of his backsliding, whatever religious terminology he knows, he's going to use it.
Yep.
And he's going to go back and tell her, if you'll come back, I got saved. Like a dummy, she goes back, or he goes, or she lets him back, and the next Sunday, the FBI couldn't find him on Sunday morning.
Oh.
And they're pretty good investigators, except for a couple times here these last few years.
Yeah.
But they find the average person. They just can't find Clinton. Certain upper-level people.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Right. Yes, sir.
So why can't they find them? For the same reason people like that can't find the Lord. They're not looking for him. Their right. Determination's wrong. The determination of the blessed is not to seek to please somebody else, but to seek God Almighty himself. My wife, now listen to this. My wife was going to leave me the night before Justin had that bad attack back in 1994. Some of y'all didn't know that. Some of y'all do. But here's two people that didn't know it. Me, myself, and I didn't know it. I had no idea. And she told me years later, I said, well, you dog. She said, well, it was true. And she had good reason to. I'm not complaining about why she said it. I just didn't know it. But you know what? They didn't have to drag me no church aisle. They didn't have to say, well, you want to do this, do this. No, listen, I got saved, and my determination hasn't changed since. I hunger and thirst after righteousness for one reason. I found the book.
Amen.
Listen, the water supply is not out there. It's in here now. And this book brings up that water supply, and the determination is different. Why? I got a target now.
Right.
I used to like those Air Force commercials. Aim high. Join the U.S. Air Force. Don't y'all? That's cool. You know what we do? We think that's cool to come in here and aim low.
Oh.
Well, you know, we all love a sin. We all got this problem. Maybe we don't have that problem. Maybe you and I are not exactly created equal like we think we are. By the way, that's not in the Bible.
That's right.
Some of you created taller. The other of us are normal.
Yeah.
True story. Amen. Come on, wake up back there and say amen there, 7 foot. And a 14-year-old told me, come on. Well, yeah, speaking of injections and stuff, I think they just directly injecting that boy. He's too tall. But listen to me. The determination is this. If you aim at the target, you won't get it most of the time. See, if you have determination and you got the right direction, you're probably going to hit the target. At least you'll be looking for the right thing. And you know what God does on his end? When you're looking for the right thing, the Bible said he sent us a comforter that'll guide us into all truth. He'll send you right to it. And just in case you can't find it, he'll move it where it can be found. That flies all against everything the world has, don't it? The world says, follow the yellow brick road, and at the end, you're going to find Oz. You know what they found when they got there? A fake.
That's right.
Some dude that was set behind a thing pulling pipes with a big screen talking about, I am the great wizard. What was he? A phony. He wasn't a wizard at all. Isn't that something? I look in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. They hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. What does God do? He don't send a thing. He sends a person. In Romans chapter 10, if you look at verse 1, God says in his book here about the Jew, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. Paul was the missionary to the Gentile, but he ain't forgot where he come from. He says, Lord, I pray they get saved too. He said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of who? God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Here's the problem. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth.
Amen.
They had the wrong target.
Right.
They wanted the right thing and had the wrong target. And he said, here's the problem. They just need to be saved.
Right.
They just need to be saved. Do you know that when people, if you talk to some people, say, oh, you need to be saved. They say, I've tried that. Salvation is not something you try.
Amen. Amen.
Salvation is not like banana pudding.
Right.
I know I'm getting hungry now. That just popped right in there. But salvation is not like banana pudding. You don't taste everybody's and see who's got the best one.
Right.
Salvation is not like a burger joint. Most places you get great food and lousy service. Some places you get great service and lousy food, and you go back to that place where you go back to the other one. It's not like that. It's not like shopping. If you buy it and get it, you don't like it, you take it back.
Right.
Salvation's a change of life.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Neither you fake.
Yes, sir.
Or are you fool?
Right.
Look back over in Matthew chapter 5. I've been going somewhere with this the whole time, and you know it, and I know it. We've got the determination of the blessed. We've got the direction of the blessed. We aim in high, right? Press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But we also have the destination of the blessed, because it says there in that verse, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And here it is. Here's the destination, for they shall be filled. Right. If you go to look in at words and study words and look things up, you'll find that they that's going to be filled are born again believers. That becomes a fact when our destination and our determination align. They tell me, and I believe this to be so because I've done it a time or two, that when you look down the barrel of a gun, you got to they got the double sights up here and that single sight down there, that when you bring them two things in line, whatever's in front of it's in trouble. They call that aligning the sights. So what would you do if somebody got in your home? I'd look for three glowing dots. That's my sights. I didn't find out after I bought the gun that got the cell phone forgot to tell me this. That when if it's been in light at all and you turn the lights off, them things glow in the dark. They'll glow all night long. I like that. I look up and see three green dots over. I say, and I roll back over. Something happens, I look up and look for them three green dots. If I find them before you do, you're in trouble.
Yep.
But I look at this thing. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they who? The people that's got the determination and the destination aligned, they going to be filled. Who are they? The born-again believer. How's that? Because Christ came to them, they didn't come to him. And once he came to them, then they came to him and said, Lord, will you forgive me? They didn't say, Lord, I want to try you on for size. They said, Lord, I've been a sinner all my life, and I'm on my way to hell. And they don't even know the direction of hell or heaven, but they don't want to go to that one, and they do want to go to the other one. And God generously saves the sinner. And then he says the word shall, for they shall be filled. Shall refers to something future that is a result of a previous instruction. I like that. That means if I can find out what it is previously and get that thing, this thing over here is easy. It ain't hard living for the Lord. It ain't hard getting saved. It really ain't. All it takes is God dealing with a sinner, and that sinner comes to Christ, and salvation's easy as it comes. I've heard them argue whether there's repentance and this, that, and other, and there's always one thing we come back to. It's of the Lord. Jonah's sitting there in the whale's belly. Salvation's of the Lord, and out he come. That's usually the way God gets people. He puts them down in the whale's belly for a little while and some stewing that a little while. And then all of a sudden they realize, God, this is all about you, not me. The rest of this world is worried about whether it's about them or not. I look at that and I see they shall. This is filled when the determination and the direction align. They shall be filled. Because of a previous thing that's been put placed and put in the right perspective, now they're going to be filled. You know what the worst and best feeling is in the world, and you experienced it yesterday. Everybody here did. Being full. Ain't that the worst thing? You're miserable. You can't hardly reach the remote control. You know you got to drive home. In case of small children, you got to drag them out by their ankles. They're asleep and all this other stuff. And if you're in the bodily shape I'm in, that gets rougher as the days grow older. And there you are. But ain't it good? It beats the empty feeling. I've heard a lot of fat jokes about me, and I laugh at them too, but I'm going to tell you something. I remember a time when I wasn't fat and I didn't have nothing to eat. You ever been like that? You ever been so hungry that, you know, you'd say you'd do about anything for food, even go to church if they asked you? You ever been there? Hungry, baby. Somebody come along and say, if you go to church with me, I'll buy you dinner. Well, when are we going? What time? It's only 1 o'clock. Can we go now? Being empty is bad, right? Oh, but when you get full, that feels bad, but it also feels good. That means you had something to eat, and thank God he sent it to you.
Yeah.
People want to fight and fuss over all this stuff all the time. I heard the dumbest political statement. You know what it was? Somebody in Georgia is running for governor said, we want to get rid of all the peanuts. We want them. We'll go to the store and get them. Hey, stupid, where do you think they come from? The matter of let's cut off all foreign trade. Bad decision. Here's why. You go down to Houston, Texas, 90% of everything you put in your mouth this week come through a port down there. And I'm not talking about China and places like that. Any of you had any watermelon or any stuff like that over the holidays? Guess where that come from? Well, they're not exactly growing around here now, are they? Where'd they come from? They come from somewhere.
Yep.
Seen some cantaloupes the other night, and I thought, bless their hearts. Got two foreigners done shipped in right here. They done crossed that border. There they sit. You ever wonder where you get your flowers at on Valentine's Day when they won't grow around here? It ever occurred to you they come somewhere else? Here's the great thing about God. This side of the planet's in winter. This side of the planet's in what, summer? And then when we get to summer, this planet's in what? We send them flowers then, so they can give them their senorita down there. True story. But I look at all this and I say, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And this is fulfilled when the direction arrives at the destination. When you fire that bullet out of that gun, he's traveling down through there. You don't have time to think this, but you're hoping it's going to hit the target before you pull. You pull the trigger because you got faith enough that you've aligned the sights up on it right and that you've got the thing in the targets. And generally, they tell me if you've got a good scope on a gun, a good rifle, and it's ready to roll, and them things line up like that or them things line up like this, when that thing, when you pull that trigger, son, it's going to hit whatever's in front of it. Is that right? So is there a catch? Nope. Oh, wait a minute. There is one. You got to pull the trigger. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You can't be looking at that thing as food. You got to look at it as somebody. When you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you don't do it because you want to be right.
That's good preaching.
You do it because you want him.
Right.
the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to do it because you want to be part of what He's doing. You want to be in the center of His will. You want to follow after Him. You want to hunger and thirst after the things that are God's. You want to take in that bread of life. You want to have the light of the world, not to be right over somebody else, but just to be with Him.
Amen.
Did you know God answers every prayer with His? It's in His perfect will.
Right.
You know what our problem is? We don't know what His will is.
Right.
You know why? We won't look.
Right.
We hear a bunch of well-meaning people hand us the Bible, say all your answers are in there, and we say, okay. And then we won't look in the book.
No.
Why won't we look? I'm going to tell you why. We don't think it's in there. Do you know that when people don't understand, or they're bound and determined to go a different way, they'll have every excuse in the book before you talk to them. Just like when the gambling thing comes up. Oh, well, the Bible doesn't say about gambling. It might. How about it goes right to the heart of it?
Right.
It says, "Thou shalt not covet."
Yep.
I've never met a gambler that don't covet.
Yep.
What are they coveting? The prize, man.
Yep.
Listen. Don't be a dummy. If somebody says you can spend $20 on a thing and get $20 million, you're probably not going to win. They just getting your $20.
Yep.
It's a con.
Yep.
Said, but what if I do win? See, there you go. There's that sinful nature again. Not wanting to hunger and thirst after righteousness, but go after covetousness. Are you fake or are you fool?
No.
Are you fake or are you fool? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, but they shall be filled. Get this, that word's past tense, like it's already happened. You know why? Because to the speaker right here that's saying it, it has. He already knows that the people he's talking to, if they'll just come get it, he'll give it to them. You ever baited your children like that before or something? Tell them, you got to give this up. And they're like, I don't want to give it up. You got the thing behind their back's better than the thing you're wanting. But I don't want to. Isn't it sad that finally when you finally get them to give in, they hand that thing over and they're reluctant. And then when you bring that thing out that's going to replace that thing, boy, that the look on that face, it looks like 10,000 spotlights have hit that face.
Yeah.
Why? Because they see that they can trust you now. You know what God does to us? He'll let you get lean so you'll start hungering and thirsting after His righteousness. And then when He gives it to you, the light of this world shines on you. The bread of life's in your stomach. You're well full to miserable because you've got Him. And it's a good miserable. That kind you had yesterday where you'd ate two or three family meals or whatever they call them things. You'd done been in the trough all day eating all that stuff. And you went back home at night and you said, you know what? It's been a good day. It's been a good day. I know sometimes people have this thing when they come to the Bible. They think the Bible is like Hindu religion. They do. America's full of it. We cremate the dead. It's not a sin to do it, but we do it. We don't know why we do it. The only two people do this thing. Those that can't afford the $20,000 burial and those that can't. If I was a funeral director, I wouldn't want you to believe in cremation at all. I'd tell you it was a sin, so you'd have to spend that $10,000. If I was a funeral director, that's what I'd do to you. So that's cruel. It's business. Why would I want to get $400 from you when I get thousands? I mean, you ever thought about that? Listen to this. When you get somebody in a position like that and you've got them where you're going to either give them something good or give them something they need, what do you give them? Which side is your sinful nature says something they need, not something that you want to be good for them? You know what God says to you? I'm going to give you both. I'm going to give you something good and something you need. I'm going to make sure that when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you can have all you want of it. And we mentioned that thing was a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll give you all of Himself that you can take. He'll give you all of it. But see, we get this Hindu stuff and we say, karma, 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 karma. And well-meaning Christians will say, well, that's kind of like what the Bible says about you reap what you sow. It's nothing like it. You know, karma says you can come back as a doorknob. I think some of them, if it was true, they'd come back as a toilet seat. That's just my opinion. But since it ain't real, it don't matter.
Right.
I shall eat the sacred cow.
Amen.
So how are you going to do it? One bite at a time. You ever seen people that buy these cows in these auctions? I don't want one of them. I want one that's already cut up. I'm putting him in a freezer. My wife knows how to take care of said cow once we get him in that position. I don't know if she could take him from live to that position, but once he gets in that shape, we know what to do with him. It's just a matter of time then. But when people come to this thing and they say, well, such and such done me wrong, karma, I'm going to preach a message on that for long. I've been putting it together about 3 weeks now. And I'm surprised at how many Christians practice Hindu beliefs. Shocking, man, shocking. I'm surprised at how many Christians walk around and say the Hindu belief thing over and over, and they don't even know what they're talking about.
Yep.
But I'm surprised at how many fakes we got that ain't full. You can fake it for a while.
Yes.
You can fake being saved for a while. You can come in and tell us all the right words and tell us all the right things and say, well, I'm filled with the Spirit. Because you heard somebody say it. And you go to certain churches, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. They'll fake that thing for a while. They can fake all that jibber jabber. They can fake all this. They can do like our crowd. They can put on a tie. Yep. You know, fake that for a little while.
Yep.
But there's one part you can't fake. If I see somebody that hadn't ate in 6 months, I'd spot them out of a crowd any day. They're the thin ones. Their ribs show. They got certain physical things about them you can see. When you see a real homeless person, it's not some fat dude sitting there with a dog talking about homeless.
Right.
Who feeds the dog?
Yeah.
Come on. Amen. That's right.
But when I see somebody that legitimately had nothing to eat, I'd spot them.
Yes, sir.
You can too. You know what they look like? Death. They're hungry. They thirst. They don't have clean hair. They don't smell like they just got out of the shower like half these so-called homeless people around here do.
Right. Exactly right.
In fact, as far as from me and to Brother Brian's, when you start smelling them, if they're really homeless. Hi, I'll work for food. Yeah, I bet you will. Yeah, here, good break, Emily. Well, I don't want to do that. You know, back hurting, you know. Wrong guy.
Exactly.
You find that guy that you can smell him before you see him, and he looks like a toothpick wearing clothes, there's you guys hungry.
Right.
So you can fake some of this stuff, but you can't fake all of it. Because for long you'll get lean. You'll be hungry and thirsting and not get nothing. Why? You've been faking it. They'll look around for you. Where's that? Well, you know, no, you lean. You've been hungering and thirsting. Say, well, can people backslide? Well, there's that sinful nature again trying to avoid the question. Mm-hmm. Trying to find a way out before you can find a way in.
Come on.
I'm looking back at the first part of that verse. Blessed. Blessed. So who's blessed? Who's blessed? Them that's full.
Right.
How'd they get that way? God did it. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Some of you understand this. When it comes time to eat, they don't have to ring your bell twice.
Right.
Y'all seen a new commercial for Domino's? They download an app with a dinner bell on it. They used to be these people live above us. I was a kid, you hear sound like Bonanza. Little triangle. And we as kids, we didn't stay inside. We stayed outside. And when you'd hear that thing, half our crowd of our football team was gone. Almost all our basketball players get gone in basketball season as soon as that thing started. It was the dinner bell. Now we all got them headsets on, and this thing starts ringing dinner bell, so we all get to going. We got to log off now, right? You know what? It's time to eat. Hey, when it's time to eat, they have to beg you to the table? Oh, no, if you're hungry and thirsting, you'll come right on.
Exactly right.
Are you fake or are you full? The gospel of Jesus Christ is preached not to embarrass the sinner, but to convict the sinner.
Right.
Are you under conviction? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we come to you tonight.